Welcome to Qualified Nonsense, the show where three old bastards who should know better talk about the things they absolutely do not understand. Me and my distinguished colleagues have been friends for nearly three decades. Now we're 40 and our knees are shot. Our biggest battle is getting up at 3 a.m. to pee. Here at Qualified Nonsense, we talk about the truly important questions that Reddit brings to us, like at what age do pubic hairs turn gray? And is it normal to need a prescription for a sex drive? And why does my back go out if I fart the wrong way? Look, we're not qualified for anything except a prostate exam and maybe a coupon for fiber gummies. But we got three decades of nonsense under our belts, which, by the way, are now clinched painfully tight over the permanent dad gut. So pull up a chair, plug in your ear bussy amplifiers, which I believe are called headphones, and try not to cough too hard, Brandon, and prepare yourself for a weekly dose of these three hunky hunks. I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Brandon.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
That was a fun intro. Although, I feel like there was a few items that were a little too on the head, considering I almost threw my back out earlier this week from not a fart, but like, I think just sitting, like idling.
Wouldn't be the first time you've thrown your back out before.
I know. What an idiot. Doing stupid stuff.
And I had the coughing thing in there before we realized this evening, Brandon's a little under the weather. So if you hear from him less, it's not because he's angry with you. He's just disappointed.
I'm not going to be my usual jovial self on this one.
Yeah, not going to be an absolute clown.
Yeah, keep it down over there, big guy. Yeah, a little out of hand. Well,
also,
aside from that, how's everybody
breathing heavily? My nose is stuffed up, so I apologize, listener.
We're on our way out. Yeah,
This might be the last time you see all of us.
You know, Matt, thanks for asking. I'm really well. Everything's going great. In my old age, I've just grown more appreciative of every day. It comes and I'm like, when I wake up, I used to think like, oh God, not again. But now I'm like, oh man, even though I hurt all over, like I'm happy to see another day. And yeah, that's been fun.
I had one of the recently I got to go to a bucket list concert, which was the World of Hans Zimmer.
Nice.
So it's curated all by him, played by musicians from all over the world that he handpicks. But what got me was it was in the Moda Center, which is where the Portland Trailblazers play. It's a big area. It's a big arena. And, I didn't necessarily think it was going to be as busy as it was. And we were some of the youngest people there. And it was a seated concert. And I purposefully chose like one of the main aisleways on the floor. So not the ones that go like parallel or perpendicular to the stage. They go parallel with the stage where the ushers and everything walk through. You could like literally put your legs out. And I sat there. I was like, yeah, this is the 1%.
Nice.
This is getting able to stretch out at a symphony concert where they play the music from the Prince of Egypt and nice. Batman Begins.
Nice. Were there people standing?
No.
Well, like nobody was
there. They were standing ovations.
Batman.
They did get a standing ovation. There was actually a 20-minute intermission, which is kind of interesting. Some of the people didn't know how to, like, they've never been to a play before or understand how plays work. Mm-hmm. So they like thought it was a free for all. Like, man, that was like, I heard one guy even be like, people that was like the shortest show ever. Leave. Yeah.
20, I feel like 20 minutes is a long intermission, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, but it's a stadium of 20,000 people.
So like getting people
out.
You have
to get a couple extra minutes of leeway to go to the bathroom and stuff. But yeah, it was great.
So you said that you looked around and you were among the younger people there. At what point do you think we'll actually know that we're not the younger people, because I feel like in my brain, you know, when I don't have a mirror in front of me, I think of myself as like on the younger side still. So I think I would find myself in a group of people and be like, oh man, I'm on the younger side of this, when actually I'm the medium.
Oh, you're asking when you'll know that you're still the younger?
No. When will I go into a group and think, oh, I'm the median age of this group, because I think I am probably the median age of groups now, especially with like, you know, going to school event things, like kids school event things. I'm probably just as old as most of the people there, but I still feel on the young side. And I
would say go into the theater. Well, like the theater has, you know, a lot of old hat, and then you get, you know, it's popular with the college kids that are into it, and I don't know. I feel like we're kind of pushing the middle age of theater.
When Krisha and I go see plays, I mean, a lot of times we we choose the matinee option because a play starting at 8 o'clock is like,
that's when you know you're the younger.
Yeah,
but. Like, you know, you are, by doing the matinee, you are surrounded by the elderly, and it is easy to be. So I guess if I keep it up, eventually I'll age into the target audience.
I know you love this word, Brandon, but that could be like the hack of like, hey, do you want to go to a play and hear it slightly louder? If you go to the matinee, on average, they turn it up 25% for the elderly, because so they can hear.
Life hack, POV. Making that up?
Well, I just totally made it up. Oh, but I could see where they would probably do that. Like, oh god, all right, matinee. Let's take
Sundays.
One higher.
Yeah, they just take it one.
I don't know. This one goes to 11. I just have a hard time with like a late. You know, Matt, you sent me a link for a concert that's going to be here tomorrow.
That starts at 8 p.m.
I thought it started at nine.
It starts at 9, but like there's no opener. It's just them. But I totally understand.
But then like
we do that all the time still. It's like we'll go to a concert on a weeknight and we're thankful that we just have a babysitter. And it's like if you go to a headliner that has an opener, you're like, oh god, I'm gonna be pushing this babysitter's buttons, getting home at 11:30. But if we find a band that we know like just goes on and has no opener, we're like, yeah, oh yeah, we know exactly what time we're getting home.
Do they still go on at that time, or do they do the wait? I feel like I've never seen a band start on time. I don't go to that many concerts, but they always start like 45 minutes late.
I'd say it depends. I mean, sometimes it feels like they get it set up, they tear down the opener and then get the headline set up. And it's like, all right, well, like now what are we waiting for?
Right.
Because I thought it was going to be 9, and then it's 9:15, and now it's 9:30, and I was like, 9:45? It
looks like all the gear is set up. Like, they've already done the sound check. They've already done the, you know, the physical gear setup. So, like,
it's like, are they doing an interview at the local TV station or something back there? What's going on? Just get out on stage.
Like finishing a line of blow before they hit the stage.
Yeah, I don't go to a lot of concerts, but yeah, if there's an option for an earlier show, I'll always take the earlier show. But if the only option is 8 p.m. or later, like, I really don't mind, because then that's like the thing I'm doing or whatever. And
yeah, you just saw an iconic artist.
Yeah, Paul McCartney in Las Vegas. He went on.
We'll get it right. We'll get demonetized if you don't say his name right.
Oh, Sir Paul McCartney.
Yeah, Sir Paul McCartney.
Well,
apologies to his highness.
There goes our.
He didn't.
His highness.
Yeah, he didn't have an opener, but he was still like 30 minutes late starting. But
got to get Grampy up.
But the seats we had I did intentionally choose the end seat, so like if I had to get up, I wouldn't have to like shuffle past people and.
Yeah.
Actually, it was nice. The seats were like club level seats, so we had access to what they called the Twitch lounge in the stadium.
Ooh. Shout out Twitch.
But yeah, you could go and like get a drink or get food, and there weren't really lines, and like it was easy to get to the bathroom and stuff like that.
Man, so, Twitch sounds like that's amazing.
What can't they do?
What can't they do?
Did it work?
Amazon. Did they know? Yeah.
Well, they're Amazon?
Yeah.
I love Amazon too. That's so crazy.
I love 2-day shipping.
Free 2-day shipping? Count me in.
Yeah. Well, we still have it monetized. We'll get there.
Will we?
I wonder if we were to
us on Patreon.
If we were to just like slide in advertisements, like just shoehorn them in, if eventually we would get traction with them, like
just fill them into a show like on the Truman Show where he's like all pissed off. She's like, oh, have you tried this new Ovaltine? And she's like,
did you know the Monopoly is back at McDonald's for a limited time only? Prices and participation may vary.
It is back. Their prizes are weird now. I saw somebody, and I actually went today drive through, and I got a Monopoly qualified thing, and I pulled it off, and it's like any food item between 173 and 259. I was like, oh, I was like, wait a minute, there's nothing on this fucking menu that's that much. Everything's more expensive than that.
You can get small water.
I was like, what do I get with this? Ooh, you gotta stack them.
Yeah, I haven't been in to play, but I saw it on a sign. So, did they stop doing it for a while?
Yeah, because they got sued.
Oh, really?
They got sued with the whole, like, kind of like Pepsi of like, oh, where's my Harrier jet? Nobody ever won $1 million from McDonald's Monopoly. It was all rigged.
Well, I saw something that the odds of winning their grand prize, which is $1 million or whatever it is higher than the lottery, like winning the jackpot for the lottery. It was like one in
higher as in as in
or something more, like that.
Worse. It's
yeah, the odds are worse.
Okay, gotcha. Well, do they do it in all countries, or is this like a United States thing?
I'm sure it's a US thing, at least this particular one, but even so, like, think about how many more people go to McDonald's than play the lottery. You know?
Or like what
I'm sure there's a Venn diagram. And I'm sure
if they played it worldwide, could you imagine the like shipping nightmare if they ship the wrong country? It's like,
oh, geez.
We're getting like McDonald's India, and it's like, well, they don't have a falafel burger. What do I get for this? <It's> like,
well, I'm sure they do a thing where it's like, okay, we'll put one winning game piece in Maine and the other one in Hawaii or whatever.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Somewhere in Alaska where we hope they don't look at it.
Do you, yeah. Matt, with your businesses, do you have to ship stuff outside of the country ever?
No.
You're all internal or yep. Like US based?
We're US based. And he means payment processing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, everything's US based. Honestly, we don't even like really working in Alaska. Because Alaska has a hard issue with like 1099 sales reps that we have. Mm. They have a lot of laws around that. And then Hawaii just kind of is a huge challenge for.
Yeah.
Are you trying a lot to of secure different reasons. The Bad Dragon account?
I'm still working on it. I sent him a feeler.
I was editing that episode and it just made me laugh so hard. Oh, I saw the YouTube short too. Like one of our YouTube shorts that I was like,
there are some good sound bites. It was kind of cool to see you discover it slowly on this podcast. Like,
I actually didn't look it up while we were recording, but when I was editing that one, I looked it up, and they have some very creative items.
Still waiting for that wolf mouth or whatever. Wolf mouth,
yeah.
Shout out Bad Dragon.
I think those.
I love them. They're so great.
those tentacle things that like attach to your leg. That's the funniest thing to me. And the most creative,
this holiday season, what do you get the one person who has
it? The person has it all. Get them more tentacles. What you get for the person who has one tentacle? Get them five.
Get them centaur jizz or so whatever they have.
Oh, yep. I mean, we could really make a podcast just around stuff like, no, I think what got me on that episode is like, there are still things that we have not discovered, mm-hmm. that we had no idea were things. Actually, you know, that would be a really great podcast idea, is to have one where it's like everybody explores a thing that they haven't ever seen before. All three of you like hadn't seen, and you have to discover it together. And it's only got to be like kinky or weird or whatever. And be like, oh, you know, bunch of immature guys.
I don't know. One of my jobs was sleuthing on the internet at weird, questionable websites. And
so you should.
I've seen
have a lot of ammo.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the underbelly of the internet, and it's just like not a fun place to dabble.
Go on.
I think I've already said, like, I've gone to sites and then had to immediately go to the FBI site to report stuff. Like, it's not
yourself.
It's not me.
All that Catholic guilt, just like, oh. Well, should we take a break, sleuth some of these websites, and come back for questions?
Yeah.
Sleuth ourselves up.
Be right back.
Have you ever looked up into the sky and thought, huh, what is that? Well, that's the
universe.
And today, the universe is saying, have a good day.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. Now's the time on the show where we take on Reddit's most pressing queries by finding the top trending questions and answering them here.
You know this actually came up as a a YouTube suggested for me, and I forgot about the show, and I forgot how much I loved it. But do you remember when Eddie Murphy did his stop animation or the clay animation show called the PJs?
No.
Yeah.
Living in the PJs. It was really great, but you sound like the guy who's like, hi, Juicy. He's like, he's all set. Yeah. There's the Jake. The minute I send it to you, you'll
get it. He's like a little fat hi. Son, right?
I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying you're breathing right now. You're like, hi, Super. You ever go? Anyway, sorry. First question.
Yeah, the first one, let's see. This question comes to us from Ask Reddit, username JuneShem1122. They ask, what ruins a burger for you?
Tomatoes.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I'd also venture to say lettuce. I've just recently got into lettuce.
I
like lettuce, but... Like, I think a big slimy slice of tomato. Yeah, just like I don't mind like tomato products, but like raw tomato, I don't care for on a sandwich. Yeah.
No maters.
I have a hot take. American cheese. Fucks up a burger.
You just disagree. Lost like all credibility
cheese for a burger.
I disagree entirely. That's,
man.
It just cuts through. It cuts through the entire burger and just is like, oh, there's like a patty of like chemicals in the middle. It just tastes rotten.
Along with your patty of chemicals.
True. Not wrong. No, I know that's a
with
hot
your
take,
bun of chemicals.
But what's the other thing that I'm okay with mayonnaise on sandwiches. Mayonnaise on burgers, I don't really get down with.
I think I get that. I would say it still has to have like some sort of creamy sauce, whether it's like a aioli or, you know, I don't know. I still like it to have some
moisture.
Some moisture. I like my burgers to be moist. So yeah, some mayonnaise on there would be great.
I don't like when they're super thick, like a meatball, like a almost on a bun.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like
we're still talking about hamburgers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about centaurs.
Okay. I don't have a sickness for the thickness as far as burgers go.
There's actually a spot up here in Woodland called the Fat Moose. It's super awesome. It's like kind of like diner home cooking food, sports bar as well, but it's like family owned, and they kind of thrive off of they do daily specials throughout the week, and on Mondays, for example, all their burgers are $6. So it's nice to go in there and like try some out that like that you never would try, because when you say what killed a burger, I also went to I'm going to say barbecue sauce. Like the people that make the like Western burgers that have onion rings and that kind of shit on there, I don't think barbecue sauce is in any way, shape, or form meant for a burger.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it depends on the other stuff on the burger, like how it's, you know, because like, for instance, like I like Swiss cheese on a burger when there's also like Dijon mustard and like roasted mushrooms and
Need to be complementary flavors,
right? Yeah It's got to be like a part of the, not just like slathered on a regular burger.
Do you guys like egg, like a fried egg on your burger?
I love a fried egg on there. That's great.
I don't like a sloppy burger, like a messy one, and it's about as messy as it gets.
There's actually an egg on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it does make it messy. I feel like a lot of times, like burritos, like when I make my own burrito, I always overfill it. So if I'm making my own burger, I'm like, oh yeah, that and that and that. And then it's like, it falls apart and it's like, you can't even get like a proper bite of it. That's my plight.
There's actually a really cool book. Individual I follow on social medias, I forget his name to be honest, but he has recommended this book that I thought would be pretty fun. It's called The Flavor Bible. Have you ever heard of it?
I have that, yeah.
It's kind of cool because it doesn't give you it's kind of cool because it takes you to Flavortown. No, it doesn't provide you any recipes. You actually look up like the ingredient that you want it to focus on, and it tells you complementary flavors and how you could potentially use it, but it doesn't give you like, I know that I want pasta, and it's like, I want cream pasta with sausage, and it'll tell you like a recipe. This tells you like, I know that I want cream and sausage, or like sausage also pairs well with these flavors if you wanted to go this way. It's kind of cool.
I actually have a few books like that are more like
choose your own adventure,
like philosophy of cooking and sort of the chemical like the flavor combination, like what it does, like what you're just talking about. It's pretty fun to read through.
Yeah. What are some of the top answers there, Brandon?
Yeah, the top one here is when you take a bite and somehow pull out half the toppings.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's just obnoxious.
Yeah. Sharpen your teeth, bro.
This person says, worst offenders, long pickles, solid tomatoes, thick lettuce, tall onions, raw ass bacon.
I mean, I don't disagree with most of those. But so
this is why I always cook my ass bacon.
Well, so okay, so
I love the smart ass responses, like people that go to the effort to just be like, got one for you.
Yeah.
Got
him. Reddit does have a wealth of those people, and I appreciate that. So about the person that said, like, gave a laundry list of things that are wrong with burgers, it comes back to freshness of ingredients. It comes back to ingredients, right? Because what you're doing is you're adding a bunch of raw ingredients or or even prepared ingredients, but you're adding it to the burger. So like the burger is one thing, great, you cook it well, however you want it done, medium rare, whatever you like, but then you add a bunch of other ingredients and it's the quality of those ingredients. And like, yeah, if you put like a fucking grocery store like middle of winter beefcake tomato on there, it's gonna taste terrible. Like it's gonna be just like a weird solid almost red thing in your burger, so it's course it's not gonna taste good. So
You gotta
tall
know your
onions are one that like I like onions on my burger, but then like if you bite in and it's like you're just getting nothing but onion, it's,
quarter inch stack of onions
kind of ruins it.
Right. It's also about building the burger and like having the right
proportions. I'm the worst offender with that though. Like I know at a certain point it's like, all right, you should probably not add that much caramelized onions to, like if you're making it at home, it's like, you don't need that many caramelized onions. Like, you got jalapenos on there already, Matt. And it's like, do you need a pepperoncini on there?
Yeah.
But I mean, you also cooked an egg. Do you plan on doing this? And it's like, you just eat it with a fork.
Right.
I respect the build.
Yeah. The Dagwood burger.
I'm just terrible with like, this seems like a healthy amount.
When it's so wet that the bun just disintegrates.
Yeah.
See, that's exactly.
Well, and that's really challenging with how do you guys prefer your burgers cooked? Like what's the temperature on the burgers?
I'm always and forever will be as rare as possible guy, except with my burgers. I go medium rare.
Okay. Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it well done, but usually like medium.
Yeah. I usually go with medium rare, but I find that the more rare you get burgers, usually the wetter they are and the
so and that the worse that's the
your
inherent
ones take it.
that's the hard part. If you're not, unless you're making them at home and you're allowing them to rest, that's the inherent problem you're always going to have, because they're just going to pull them right off the grill and be like, send it. And it's like, oh, it's you got to rest it.
And actually that's why I like brioche buns, because they
can take a beating.
They can take a beating a little bit better.
I don't like when they put the lettuce on and just let it sit. Or if you're like getting it to go and it's been sitting like steaming in a to-go box, and then you get the lettuce and it's all like droopy and
floppy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's what's the point at that?
What do they call those warming station? Like the station before it gets run to the table. It's like there's like a heater on it. And
yeah,
and
the heating lamp.
Like, the heating lamp, yeah. So like even if it's sitting open and not steaming, it's still getting like beat down by like
yeah.
a heat
that's
lamp.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Like yeah, this person says currently the price.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Shots fired. I will say Costco, if you got one near you, their meat prices are still relatively decent. Stock up, split it out.
I just went to Texas last weekend.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Oh, it was great. We had a good time. But right when we got there, my friend David, he's like, we all were like, oh, hey, make a brisket, because we'd heard his brisket's good. And he's like, okay, that's fine. But he does it with charcoal and he doesn't have any automation except for a remote thermometer. So the first time I was there,
24 hours,
we stayed up all night, basically like checking it every time it fell below a particular temperature or above a particular temperature to adjust the vents or the amount of fuel or charcoal or whatever. And it was really fun. And it turned out really, really good. But I was like, David, when we were all like, yeah, make us brisket, I did not know that we were like punishing you. And he's like, no, it's fine, this is fun. But it was a huge process and I'd never done it. But have you guys ever done a brisket before?
I made one in the oven, but yeah, never smoking one.
Yeah,
admittedly I started smoking one, and then like any guy that was smoking meats, I probably had too many beers and I was like, fuck this, and I put it in the oven. I was like, it can, like, meat can only take so much smoke in a period of time, so just put it in the oven.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I mean, it is a huge, like, he started it, granted, he started it at night in order to have, like, a relatively early dinner, but we started at, like, 6, got the fire going, seasoned it, or like, trimmed it, seasoned it, put it on, and then it had to get up to temperature. And I didn't get up to temperature till about 3 in the morning. So, like, it took, like, a good 6 or 7 hours to get it up to temperature.
You know what you should get him for Christmas?
Huh.
Even though I think they both have pretty good jobs. Get a meter thermometer. Meter. It's one of the wireless probes. You track it from your phone.
Oh, no.
It was a game changer.
No. He has that. And that was actually how, like, we didn't have to sit on it the whole time. We just stayed up all night because he had to manually feed the fire. And so he had a probe that was sitting in the like open in the smoker as well as in the thick part of the meat.
Got it. Okay. So you could say the ambient temperature.
Right. So then it would chirp at us every time it fell below a 135 or something like that. Or what
you guys should have just treated it like war. Like you got first watch. Yeah.
I know. Well, I did end up. It was actually
get
pretty
some shut eye, sailor.
They have a really cool hypoallergenic cat, and so I was sleeping on the couch with like blankets and stuff, and I had just fallen asleep, and this cat, who's like, I forget what kind of cat is, Siberian something something, big old fucking cat, and he just jumped right on my balls and started gently stomping around my balls, and I was like, oh Christ, oh Marshmallow, get off my balls. And then
his name's Marshmallow.
Yeah, he looks like a big marshmallow. I'll send you guys a picture if I can find it.
Felt like some marshmallows hit in the back of your balls.
Yeah, really. And then he moved up onto my like chest, and he laid down on my chest, and it was great. It was like a lot of fun, and I
but you're, yeah, because you're hyper allergic to cats.
I'm super allergic, but he's like this special breed that has a high likelihood of being hypoallergenic. And then they did like an additional test to make sure that he was, because I think David is allergic and also one of the kids are allergic, maybe. But it was great.
Well, let's get a cat.
I got to hang out with a cat that weekend, last weekend, and I understand the joys of having a cat. Like bite your hand while you're trying to sleep and stuff.
It's fun. No, I never will. Did it get like the zoomies in the middle of the night, or was it like?
It did sometimes.
It makes weird sound like in the middle of the night.
I didn't hear any of that. I'm sure he did plenty, but yeah, he did. He did. One morning, he like got into our room somehow, and he laid like right next to me, and he like rolled over and put his like belly up, you know. And I was like, okay, do you want me to like pet your belly?
Oh, it's
and
a trap.
It was a trap. And he kept doing it. I kept like slowly putting my hand on his stomach. And then he'd just be like, ah, like chomp onto my hand. It was pretty fun. We had a good time. Sorry, I derailed.
No, that's fine. I'm always down for some cat talk.
I was going to say, it's a way to liven Brandon up on this episode.
I think we've kind of exhausted the burger talk. A lot of the answers are starting to kind of repeat, but
build it properly. Don't be dumb. And American cheese is still great. Moving on.
2 out of 3 hosts on this podcast prefer American cheese. Okay, this question comes to us from No Stupid Questions, username Cyberdyne Systems AI. They ask, are stoners more socially acceptable than drunks? Born in the 80s, it seems like the perception has changed in my lifetime.
Are stoners, what is the question?
Are stoners
more socially acceptable than drunks?
Absolutely. And I think... The younger we get, there's a huge air quotes here I'm using, sobriety movement. And it's just people not wanting to have alcohol anymore.
Yeah.
We've discussed this before. It's just, I don't know. There's less guilt behind it, more acceptable to have something that's an upper instead of a downer. Yada, yada, yada.
I mean, I think if you're going to be sober, people who are stoned are easier to be around than people who are drunk. But mm-hmm. if you're also drunk, being around drunk people is kind of fun until somebody, you know, crosses a line or gets
picks
out of
a
hand.
Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I think that's one of the things that you negate when you take the other drugs, when you stay sober. I'm not going to use sober. When you use other drugs outside mm-hmm. of alcohol, like the ones that I'm at least thinking of kind of negate the fact for you to get angry. It all the ones I know are just like chill, good times, positive vibes only, happy lights and rainbows.
Yeah,
so heroin's great.
Heroin's great. No, I'm a little ignorant to how different drugs affect people. I know sort of like broad strokes what the sort of common ones that you come across, but I don't know that I feel particularly comfortable around people who are stoned or high, just because I guess probably just because I'm less familiar, so I don't know really what to expect. Whereas with drunk people, like, I know what to expect.
I think it's far. I mean, you've never been around anybody that's like smoked some weed and
No, for sure I have. But what I mean is that
you hang out with one every Tuesday when we record.
Yeah, true that. No, no, you know, I guess I don't know. I'm just more familiar. I mean, you know, we've all worked in bars for at various points in our lives. Like, I'm just very, yeah. very familiar. And I like in their unpredictability, drunk people are pretty predictable. And like, I know what to expect. And I don't particularly care to hang out with people who are drunk, especially when I'm not in any way intoxicated. But I just think that the situation in which people are high or stoned, I'm just not as familiar with. So I just feel like I'm a little less prepared for.
We should do a recording roulette of I'll send you guys something in the mail and you take it. And then we'll ask each other on the cast, which one do you think they're on? And you're going to have three options.
Guys, so. You want to know something? I'm sure we've talked about this before.
Of mouth.
Jake, don't apply for any jobs where you need a UA for at least like 2 weeks.
Well, so it's super easy for me because I'm still a marijuana virgin in all of its forms. I still
everything?
I've never gotten high.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Kinda.
Yeah.
But also respectable. I get it.
What am I?
If you don't find that there's any personal value for you to do it, then yeah. you shouldn't.
I mean,
sometimes I just think it's
kind of
nice to experience.
God damn.
I got opinions about. I got opinions about that.
Oh, okay.
But I'll spare you for a different episode.
All right, sounds good.
Are there places where it's legal recreationally where you can go smoke or have edibles in like a business, like a restaurant or bar type thing?
There's one in Colorado. Fuck, what is it called? It's like, and it's actually a nice restaurant, but it has a lounge on it as well. Forget the name.
I guess
of it.
I feel like the problem with that is that, like, you can have a beer and be okay to drive, but then if you smoke a joint, you're probably not okay to drive.
I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that, but I will say this.
We're also not lawyers.
So the
this,
spots, I don't endorse smoke, any sort of inebriation in driving, period. With the places that do infused meals, I think is a little bit of a crock and kind of a scam because it's fat soluble. So you're getting your bang for your buck potentially like while you're driving home. Right. So it's like, yeah, it's like, it's not immediate. It's, and you know, unless your dinner is 3 hours long, an hour and a half, 2 hours long.
Yeah.
You wouldn't feel the effects anyway. So it's, I don't know. It seems like kind of a kitschy, it's weed butter. And it's,
I mean, I feel like that's that like
basically everything that's like basically anything that's available in North Carolina right now. that's legal, like anything that claims THC or any of the other chemical compounds that come from weed.
Smoke weed every day.
I mean, the crazy stuff right now, and seeing some of the reports on what it's doing, and I know federal legislation is trying to crack down on it, and there's stuff going on currently, but about kratom, that shit's pretty scary too. With
kratom,
it's a chemical compound of, I'm not sure what it's supposed
like from the bark of an Indonesian tree or something like that.
But the experiences that people are having on that, because it's not regulated per se, you know, you remember when salvia was a thing?
Yeah.
And then people started tripping out on that, and it went down a weird spot. I don't know. I kind of see kratom as the same danger.
What about the like the Delta 9 stuff?
Delta 9 is a huge gimmick for people that, I don't know. It's like one of those, like when you roll up a fake cigarette or a cigarette which is a piece of paper when you're a kid and you light it on fire. Like, look, I'm smoking. Delta 9 to me is like that for weed. It's like, that's cool.
That's a pretty good comparison. I don't have the context, but I like that. That's like a great dig.
Yeah, I know.
The top answer here is the shit people do stoned on weed is more acceptable than the shit people do drunk on alcohol.
Also true. Very fair. It's acceptable to sit on a couch and order an irresponsible amount on DoorDash and laugh at it the next day than to get in a car and be like, let's go to the bar and kill somebody.
Yeah.
How so?
Don't follow.
Well, like, this sounds like a novice sort of question, but like with alcohol, like, you can kind of keep getting progressively drunker the more you drink, but like with weed, is there like a limit, a ceiling on how high you can get?
Not that I've experienced.
Well,
but
I know,
don't,
we're gonna do for our end of season two episode,
I'm gonna take double the amount of edibles I would normally take and see if that's true.
It's like a 3-hour podcast with like just as many words as a normal podcast.
Just trying to wake me up.
This person says, I mean, I have no idea where my remote is. This other person says, when I was working retail, I'd much rather deal with someone high than drunk. That's a good point.
That's
like someone drunk is probably going to like knock everything off your register, and like someone high is just going to ask you the same question over and over again.
if they have the motivation to show up.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but I associate also the drunk aspect, and you, which is not true at all, but I associate the being drunk part of it, of the argument, as like you're out at a bar somewhere, and if you're high or whatever, you're at home. That's just how I see it.
Yeah.
It's like, are you sitting around a bar somewhere, like smoking joints with your buds and then drive home? You know, I feel like that's an activity that takes place in one's home unit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, you, where I live, there's a lot of access to weed in Eugene, and it's pretty easy to just walk around anywhere, like walk into a store or on the street and just smell it everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a house that we walk by in the morning that always smells. Well, it doesn't always smell, but sometimes you can get like a huge waft of it and you're like, wow, right next to a school, huh? Sweet.
Could be worse, man. There's other worse drugs. God.
Were you the one who was, Jake, who was saying, like, your kids smelled weed in the car, and they were like, Dad, did you fart?
No, I don't think so.
It wasn't you, because like, you wouldn't have had it in the car.
That would,
I was listening.
Yeah, to who would do that in a car?
I was listening to a podcast, and one of the hosts said he was picking up his kids from school, and he smoked a bowl, and then the kids, like he said he told his kids that he was farting. And that's what the smell was, and they're like, "Oh, Dad, it really stinks."
Funny, I don't condone that, but funny.
Yeah, I mean, driving children around while stoned is
so
like picking them up from school with like smoke coming out of your windows.
is driving under the influence of marijuana?
DUI.
Is it the same offense?
Period. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do they test for it? Do you have to do like a blood test or pee test?
They drive you through a Waffle House and see if you have an order or not.
Well, like with a DUI, you know, they have a breathalyzer. They can tell how drunk you are. But with weed, like what's the test? That
they show
you,
they have a pre-recorded list of 5 different Ren and Stimpy clips. and if you laugh for longer than 30 seconds, then you get booked.
I could be wrong, but I believe they still do a field sobriety, which has the same quantifiers as to how you might be inebriated. But yeah, or they just drive you through Taco Bell and be like, "Hey, you're not high. You don't want anything? I'm getting dinner."
That's
son of a bitch. I knew it. Let's go.
Entrapment. I was set up, man.
This person says, "I think only drunks like to be around other drunks." I think that's true.
I think that's true.
Yes. Yeah, because sober people don't like to be around drunks because we're annoying. And when you're drunk, you think the sober people are like the biggest wet blankets ever. Like, fucking wuss. We could totally jump over this bridge.
Come on, loosen up, man.
You've never taken a car over the Burnside Bridge when it was trying to draw. Come on. We could do it.
Come on. I know it's 1 a.m., but I know a place that does karaoke. Let's go.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Actually, sounds kind of fun.
This person says, "I can't smoke weed anymore because of my government job. I have a 6-pack of beer every weekend. I just switched from liquor because it turned me into a completely different person, a person nobody wanted to be around. A violent, bitter, angry person. I recognized it and switched over before it was too late. The difference with weed is that you get more high. If you get more high, there's not much that changes about your demeanor compared to being more drunk. Moderation is much more of a requirement when it comes to alcohol."
That's an interesting take. It's also a bummer that the government, I get it, it's a federal one substance or schedule one substance. But it sucks that the government's like, no, go drink all you want. Yeah.
I feel like when I drink, my personality doesn't really, like, I don't have like a, I don't turn into an asshole, or I don't think I do. I don't feel.
Never remember it like for the next violent. Day anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel like violent or getting like, you know, crazy or anything. But
I think all I remember is that you get a little chattier, but
yeah.
Yeah, you get better with some sauce.
Better.
I'm drunk all the time.
No, I mean like your banter is like, you can tell that, oh, here comes Brandon.
Stop
in
me
a good
if
in a very in a good way.
Stop I mean me that, if I've totally talked about this before, but something that was really striking to me was during COVID when they shut down all the stores, they left the ABC stores open, and because they were, what did they call them? Like, essential services. And of all the places, I thought that was so interesting and so telling, and I understand the reason why, but I just think it's so telling about our society that there was like, a serious panic and a serious health concern. And then they're like, it's important that we leave the liquor stores open. And I just think that that's bizarre.
Well, they have all the souvenirs. It's not just liquor.
Oh, right. That you can
people
get.
People need
you can get,
to need something to sanitize their hands with.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they're going.
Should be a lobbyist, Brandon.
Yeah. People using like, what's that like Hypnotic or something to like sanitize their hands and it's all sticky.
Oh, like absinthe,
like raspberry schnapps or something. Oh.
Like cheap, charges.
Like, whatever that Balls brand or, you know, De Kuyper, like that kind of like thick syrupy stuff.
Using like
it's more of a gotcha joke. Like the people that buy it, like if I was the CEO of that company, I'd sit in a parking lot and watch somebody come out and be like, oh, it's like, yeah. Gotcha. But you're clean.
But you're clean. Yeah. I don't know. There's not really much more. Yeah, as a generalization, I'd say yes, because drunks can be more volatile, whereas stoners are typically keeping to themselves. Of course, exceptions always apply. So, I mean, it's yeah, people just kind of saying the same thing.
I think it's a cliche statement, but I do find it to be true. Is like, show me a violent stoner. You know, when they're trying to compare like alcoholism to other drugs.
Now, when
like,
we say stoner, we're talking about weed pretty much only, or like weed adjacent things.
Yeah. I mean, I would think so.
Yeah.
Maybe that makes us old, but yeah.
I don't know. I'm super.
It's one of those things like when I used to watch movies from Vietnam and they're like, he's got that dope.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, but are we talking about like cocaine or weed?
I know. I always thought
I never knew what they were talking about.
Or when they say hash, like, is that weed or is that like heroin or
isn't hashish like weed and something else?
Yeah, I don't know. I just like I always felt like I just rolled with it, like I knew what they were talking about in all the war movies. I was like, yeah, that dope. I was like, fuck, are they talking about like coke or
I thought they were talking about coke for ages, but
yeah, I've heard dope for both weed and coke.
I think our parents' generation, and parents, feel free to
and then
write
smack
in.
Was smack heroin or coke?
I think crack. I feel like I don't know.
Yeah, smack. I always thought.
Oh, and then there's crack. See,
bath salts.
Either way, yeah, no, okay, so that's still gonna be, that'll be the next episode. I'm gonna send you one box with goodies, and then you have a second box with goodies, and we'll do the other one. If yours comes with a syringe.
Dirty dope smoker.
Yeah, but are you talking about weed when you say dope smoker? Or are you talking about crack?
Don't smoke crack.
Dealer's choice.
Anyway, don't do drugs, kids.
Send you a blind box. Nick. He'll have to smoke it no matter what.
He puts it in his little like grandpa pipe. Hmm. This methamphetamines like are quite nice. Never freebased out of this pipe before.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's been an episode.
Well, our job's done here.
Time to go get some smack and finish it off with some dope.
Okay, go back to bed.
Butt chug some
coffee enemas.
All right, well, thank you all for listening, and thank you to our loyal patrons for supporting the show. If you haven't already, head over to Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense to show your support. Watch us over on YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Also, feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. After you've done all that, please also rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. We'll see you back here next week, right, for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Yeah, I like that question mark. And actually, we didn't really talk about it much, but this is our what is that? Penultimate season two.
Join next week for a big announcement.
But, oh shit! Yeah, yeah.
Don't tell them now.
Patreon to find out before next week.
Don't let it all hang out on the first date, Jake. Jeez.
Oh, sorry. Wink.
Gotta come back, come sailor.
Like what you see. All right. See you later.